John chapter number 14. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I wish your pastor was here. And sure love him and appreciate him. And good to see all of you here. And thank the Lord. He acted like most people be gone. You got a good crowd tonight. I appreciate your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. And that's a great blessing. And we'll be looking at some familiar passages tonight. In John chapter number 14, we'll start reading with verse number 1, please. Verse number 1, John 14 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. I pray that you bless Brother Shepherd as he's gone. Bless His daughter-in-law, Lord, and the delivery of the baby. Bless them in that meeting, Lord, I pray. Bring him back safe. And, Lord, I pray that you'd bless us here in this service tonight. Thank you for the songs tonight, Lord. And I pray that you'd please, Lord, help us as we look into thy word for a few moments tonight. Please bless this congregation. Help this church go forward. For the glory of God, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Well, I want to bring your attention to this thought tonight and on this passage of Scripture, and I just simply want to preach on heaven tonight. And I'm interested in why Jesus mentions heaven in this particular passage of Scripture. We are looking as we progress through the book of John here, and some things are said in chapter number 13 that I want to bring your attention to. And then all of a sudden in chapter number 14, verse number 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. The word trouble means to strike one's spirit with fear or dread. And so Jesus makes that statement to them. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I'm curious as to why he says that. Why? What's the purpose of him saying that at this particular time? And so I want you to look back, if you will, please, for a moment, in chapter number 13, and let's lay a foundation for this scripture that we've read tonight. In chapter number 13, look, if you will, please, down in verse number 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Then he lying on Jesus' breast says unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him and said, Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, doest quickly." So here in this passage of Scripture, we see in chapter number 13, first of all, we see a man that's going to double cross the Lord Jesus or betray him, as we would reference that. And so here are the disciples together. Jesus makes an announcement that one of you is going to double cross me. One of you is going to betray me. And he points out who it is. I don't think they knew who it was. I don't think they had any preconceived ideas. But when Jesus did what he did and gave him the sop, then it made more sense who he was speaking of. But regardless of who he's speaking of, he makes the awful announcement that someone in that group of people that had followed Jesus, that had saw Jesus work, that had saw all the miracles, that had heard him preach and speak and been with him, one of them was going to betray him. I say in our day, when you see somebody leave a church, especially if they leave bad or if they leave mad or if they go out and say things about the church that are not true, it's very disheartening. It's very, very troublesome to us. It breaks our heart when we see that go on, especially people that we knew, people we had went to church with, people we loved, that would leave and go another direction. So here we see that one thing was in chapter number 13, was the double crossing or the betrayal of one of the disciples. Then something else happens in chapter number 13 I want to bring your attention to. Look down in verse number 36, please. In chapter number 13, verse number 36. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter answered unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Here's another thing Jesus speaks of and brings their attention to. You've got that faithful following of the believers. You've got those people gathered around the Lord Jesus, listening to every word he said, loving him and loving the people there and marching forward. And all of a sudden, not only does Jesus foretell about someone double-crossing him or betraying him, but now he has let them know that Peter, the disciple, the as one preacher friend of mine used to say, the water walker, the man that they saw God use and do things in his life, now the Lord has said that he is going to deny the Lord Jesus before the cock crows. And so here's the second thing. So you can imagine a church and the preacher getting up and say, I hate to inform you all of this, but we have someone that's going to forsake us, going to forsake the truth, going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ and go another direction. That would be very troubling. That would be very disheartening. And then if the pastor said, now I'm going to also tell you on the back of that, that we're going to have someone in our congregation that we believed in, that we trusted in, they are going to deny the Lord three times, and that would be the second thing that the pastor would reveal. Well, that would tear us up. That would break our hearts. That would make us very troubled in our spirit and very disheartened. But you can imagine a small number that actually walked with Jesus, actually saw the miracles, actually beheld him and heard him and prayed with him and all the things that they did. Jesus had just told them that two men were going to do these things. One was going to double cross the Lord Jesus. One was going to deny the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, no wonder in chapter 14, verse number 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. In spite of all of that, in spite of what he just foretold them, in spite of what he just said to them, he says here in this passage of Scripture, let not your heart be troubled. And ladies and gentlemen, we're living in troublesome times, as one man used to say. We're living in disheartening times. We're living in hard times. We're living in, and I know the church has always had some aspects of this, but I'm telling you, I preached in a church this morning. They talked about how people had left during COVID and just never came back and how their numbers were down. They were disheartened and disappointed. And life does that sometimes. Difficult things come in our lives and hard things and disappointing things that trouble us. But Jesus says in this passage of Scripture, let not your heart be troubled. He's getting ready to reveal to them some truths in this passage of Scripture that's going to lift their spirits, going to give them hope, going to show them there's more to it than just what happens in this life. Praise God for that. I know we say if this is all there was, I'd still live for the Lord. And truly that's so. But praise God, this is not all there is to it. There's more to it than this in this life of sin and corruption and heartache and heartbreak. There's a place that the believer of God's going. Praise God, we can look forward to and rejoice in that fact tonight. So here he says to them in the midst of this, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let fear and dread overwhelm you and overtake your heart and spirit. And then he goes into this aspect in verses 1 through 6 that I want to bring your attention to tonight. First of all, he says, in this passage of Scripture, he talks about the person. Now, he's going to talk about a place here in a minute. But first of all, he talks about a person. And I want you to understand what he says here. First of all, he says in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There he speaks about a person, about himself. In verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'd go to prepare a place for you. Jesus speaking about himself. In verse number 3, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Speaking of himself again. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Speaking of himself again. Thomas said unto him, Lord, speaking of the Lord Jesus, we know not whither thou goest and where, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. And he doesn't say it this way, but I am the truth and I am the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He speaks of himself. He speaks of the person. And I'm telling you, listen to me, please. This is not all that he reveals to us about heaven, but I'm telling you the main attraction in heaven is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. As the brother said a few moments ago, he's the reason we'll be there. He's the reason we're going. He's the reason we have an opportunity to leave this world and go to a better place, praise God. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he emphasizes this in this passage of Scripture. May I bring your attention to what he says? In verse number 6, he said, I am the way. Now, the word way there means the way by which one passes. There's only one way. There's a way by which one passes. You might know a destination, and you say somebody might say, how do you get there? And you say, well, there's only one way. You have to go up here and turn right, cross this little bridge and take a left. That's the only way there is to get in and out of there. Well, I'm telling you, friend, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said of himself, I am the way. Praise God for that. Now, in light of what our country is going through right now, there's a lot of people talking about God. There's a lot of people trying to talk religious. They might be of a different denomination. They might be of no denomination. They might be famous. They might be a sports figure or a political figure or a movie star or a singer of some kind. But there's a lot of people talking about God and a lot of people talking about heaven. But may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus makes it very specific. It's not a general thing. It's a specific thing that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It's not open to a broad spectrum of ways. There's only one way. It is a narrow way. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's not at all. And we're in a world right now. Oh, I'm telling you, it don't matter if you cuss the last sentence or not. You can talk about God the next sentence and everything be all right. But it's not the way the Bible talks about it. It says here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is the way. There can be somebody that believes totally different. But throw in the word God in there somehow, And then all of a sudden they've got some kind of credibility to talk about eternity. That's not the way it is, friend. I'm telling you, we're living in a world that is absolutely ignorant when it comes to the scriptures and when it comes to the things of God. Aren't you glad, thank God, that we have heard the truth? We know the truth. Praise God for that. If nothing else, we can shout about the fact that we know what's right and know what's wrong. Jesus said, I am the way. It's not a general aspect. It's very specific. You'll also notice a lot of times that they'll promote something that's contrary to scripture and try to twist it where it meets their criteria, but it doesn't fit the Bible criteria. Be very aware of that. Don't swallow everything everybody says, hook, line, and sinker, just because they mention the name of God. We have a tendency to go along with somebody that does that, but we better be very wise about that and very knowledgeable about that as we do that. Jesus said, I am the way, but he doesn't stop there. He said, I am the truth. The word truth there means the truth as taught in Christianity. Not in other denominations that deny Christ as the Savior. Not in other denominations that do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as being the Son of God and being God in the flesh. I'm telling you, he said, I am the way and the truth. The truth that is taught in Christianity. What we believe, what the Bible says, that's the truth and that's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So we understand that Jesus here says, I am the way. And then he says, and truth. But he doesn't stop there. Then he says, also, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word life there means a life active and vigorous and devoted to God. It's not somebody that just gets on a platform that has been living wicked and ungodly, and now they invoke the name of God and everything else is all right about their life. No, friend, the word life here that Jesus gives, that he bestows upon the soul, it's a life that is devoted to God, that has come to the place where they've rejected sin and the world and given their life totally and wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ, a life active and vigorous and devoted to God. That's what he's talking about here. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Over and over in scripture, it talks about the person of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time tonight to run all the references, but you understand what I'm saying tonight. Not only does he talk about the person, but he talks about the place. There's a specific place we're going if you're saved. When we leave this world. You say, well, preacher, I'm healthy, I'm young, I don't have to worry about that right now. Well, you never know what's going to happen. You just never know. I talked to a friend of mine from high school yesterday. He said, Randy, I just wanted to inform you that my wife has been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And they've given her less than 2 years to live. She's younger than I am. And you say, well, you're old. I understand I am getting older. But I'm telling you, when I was younger, I used to think 80 was old. It's not as old as it used to be. But nevertheless, we never know what happened. We don't know what's going on inside of us. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I know that's a saying that we use a lot, but it's just the truth. And here in this passage of scripture, you know, Brother David Wells, Brother David, a few months ago had a massive heart attack. And the doctors told him when he got to the hospital, we're amazed you're still alive. And he just in his 50s. So we just never know what's going to happen. But here in this passage of scripture, Jesus tells about a place. He says this in verse number 2. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. There's the word place. And if I go and prepare a place, there's the word again, for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God, there's a place. Now, I I'm sure I've said this. And you've probably heard somebody say this, or maybe you've said this. But they say all there is to heaven, as long as Jesus is there, that's all that matters. And that is true. But Jesus just doesn't say, I'll be up there in that place and that's all you need to know about. No, if you'll read scriptures, he describes the place to some degree. He talks about the gates of pearl. He talks about streets of gold. He talks about the walls of jasper. He talks about all the magnificent things we're going to see. Praise God, I will see that place. And you know what? I'm going to see that place. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ has done in me. I'm telling you, praise God, when I leave this world, and I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of this world. And when I leave this world, I'm going to a place. Oh, it's a magnificent place. But it's a place with a specific person that's going to be the light of that city the Bible talks about. And it's a place called heaven. And it says here in this passage of scripture, there's going to be mansions there. He speaks of that. Now we live in a single wide trailer. And I can tell you something, years ago, my dad talked about, you know, you could, and Kim's dad, you could look through the floor and see the chickens. Some of y'all heard all that. Maybe you've experienced all that. Nowadays we got central air and central heat and nice houses and all kinds of things we're not looking as forward as maybe that generation did. But I'm telling you, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to a place. We sing about heaven, you know. Won't it be wonderful there? When we all get to heaven, heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Heaven must be a wonderful place. Heaven's jubilee. We sing about it. But has it really dawned on us? That's a place. And we're actually going there. Praise God for that. And one day when we all get there, we'll realize that as a reality in our lives. So he talks about a place here in this passage of scripture. But a place, just being a place, is not enough. There's going to be people there. And it speaks of the people that's going to be there. It doesn't mention us by name, but it tells the types of people that's going there. And I want you to please listen to this, if you will. Listen to what it says. In verse number 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." It's going to be a people that believes in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's specifically who's going to be there. The word believe means having a joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah and the author of eternal salvation joined with obedience to Christ. That's the type of people that's going to be there. You say, "Preacher, I don't want to go to heaven with a bunch of drunks and dope addicts and all this stuff." Don't worry, you're not. You're going to heaven just like anybody else would go to heaven if you have come to the place where you believe in God and believe also in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3 says, "And if I go to prepare a place for you," who's Jesus talking to? Those that believe. "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." Why is he coming again? And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God, you and I understand and know that the reason we're going is because we believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's a group of people going to heaven. Not just everybody's going to heaven. But I'm telling you who is going to heaven, and he marks it out in this passage of scripture. Those that believe in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people right now talking about heaven. And they're talking about seeing people when they get to heaven. And they have not a clue of what it means to be saved by the grace of God. They're not believers in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trying to escape the reality of Scripture and promise themselves they're going somewhere where they're not going. We must understand there's a people going to be there. And that people are people that believe in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ according to Scripture. This is what it says in John chapter number 1, verse number 11. "He came to his own," speaking of Jesus, "and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, of which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's those types of people that are going to heaven. Those types of people that believe in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in a general belief that there's a higher being out there. Well, that higher being could be anything in their mind. There's a specific person it talks about and a specific people that the Bible talks about that's going to heaven. Praise God. And he mentioned that in that passage of scripture. This is what he says in Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 8. He said the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which it was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are all created. Here in this passage of Scripture, it shows us that there's only a group of people that's going, and they put their trust in He that created everything and believes upon God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I must understand that everybody, as much as we'd like to, everybody, we wish everybody to get saved and go to heaven with us, but that's just not happening. Just because somebody says they're going don't mean they're going. If they've not believed in Almighty God, repented toward God, and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going. It talks about the people. It talks about the people that are there. Can I ask you something? Are you going to be there? With the criteria of a person that must believe in God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ the spiritual way and have come to God through repentance and faith, are you going to be in heaven? Are you going there when you leave this world? The songwriter said, Glory to God, I have a better place to go. And if you don't have that promise tonight, I wish you'd please consider the truth of this. Don't listen to all the stuff that's going on out there right now. Everybody in the world, they could be drinking liquor 1 minute and talking about going to heaven the next minute. They could be cussing in 1 minute and talking about Jesus or God. They don't mention Jesus very much. You know, something I've noticed has not been mentioned hardly at all is sin. Sin's not been mentioned hardly at all. So I'm telling you, salvation is a sin issue. And a person must turn to God and repent of their sin if they want to go to heaven. And so here in this passage of Scripture, he talks about the people. Last of all, may I bring this to your attention? In this passage of Scripture, he says this, the last part of verse number 6. Let's read verse number 6 together. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there he shows there's a prohibition. There's some people going to be prohibited from going to heaven. Everybody's not going. Everybody will not be able to enter the pearly gates. Everybody is not going to leave this world and wind up in heaven. Most people, the Bible says, are going to go to hell. That's not what we wanted. That's not what Jesus wanted. That's not what God wanted. But the truth of the matter, most people reject the truth and go the other direction. But those that have believed in God are going to go to heaven. But there are some that are going to be prohibited from going to heaven. The Bible talks about that. Jesus said that in that passage of Scripture. This is what he says in Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is what he says in chapter 21, verse number 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's no sinners that have not repented are going to be allowed. This is what it says in Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth, in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there are some people, the Bible says very plainly, that are going to be prohibited from going to heaven. Jesus saith that's here. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, there's a way to God. There's a way to go to heaven. There's a way to enter this place that he's talking about. He's telling these people that have already believed. He said, don't let your heart be troubled because some people have fled. Some people have gone away. Some people have quit. Some people are going to deny. Don't let your heart be troubled because of that. Think about where you're going and what you have in store ahead of you. And stay faithful to God. Make sure you've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, if everybody quits, you're still going. If you're truly born again, it doesn't matter what other people might do that will not keep you from entering into heaven and that fair land. But don't ever forget that everybody's not going. And you can talk about God all day. But if you've never truly been born again, if you've never believed in God and the Lord Jesus Christ as the scriptures command, then friend, you'll have no hope of heaven. But thank God, I'm telling you, I was headed to hell and I deserved to go there. Praise God. Many years ago, 1982, on May the 14th, I'm telling you, that night I bowed my knee to God. I repented of my sins. I turned from my wickedness. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I got up that night. I fit for heaven. When I went in that building that night, I was headed to hell. And what made the difference was the Lord Jesus in my life. Saved my never-dying soul. And made me fit for heaven. Praise God. Don't let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. It's what Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this promise and this hope that we have in Scripture. I pray that you please help us, Lord, in this day and hour of deceit and denial and misinformation and false acknowledgments of God. Help us, Lord, I pray, not to let our hearts be troubled. Lord, we're concerned about it. We're bothered about it to the point we want them to know the truth and get saved. But Lord, we're not troubled to the point that we want to just give up and quit. Look ahead, the place that you have prepared for us, the person that's going to be there, and the other people that will accompany us when we get there. Thank you for this hope in the Scriptures. Thank you for the promise of the Word of God. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Please, Lord, I pray, help us to think upon these things in the days to come. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.